Good afternoon. I'm Anthony McCarthy, sitting in for Faraji. This is For the Culture right here on Public Radio WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. And it's your voice. I am so excited to be here in front of this microphone to talk to you. In the last hour here on Public Radio, we've talked about the festivals in Baltimore County where there have been some breakdown, where there have been some fights, where there have been some melees. A county councilman said that he believes that the county is under siege from people who do not live here or work here and have no idea how to act in civil society. He is getting blasted on Facebook and other social media. He essentially pointed the finger for these things that have happened at black kids. I want to know what you think. Many of you have been holding on. We have a lot of callers who held on for the last hour. I want to make sure that your voice is heard. This man has a great name. Anthony is on the line. Anthony, I appreciate you holding. Give us your thoughts.
Yeah, you have a wonderful name, too, Mr. McCarthy. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I just want to say, most people my age, remember back in the 50s, they were still having picnics out in Jude Hill Park.
Yep, okay? They sure were.
Yes, they certainly were, and they still have them too, but you don't have them advertised as much unless it happens with somebody got a telephone. But I just want to say, yeah, my parents and my grandparents, they grew up around close to South Baltimore. They couldn't go across certain streets down in Fulton Avenue because you hit the white neighborhood, and yeah, you get in a fight or you get killed. So yeah, and I still remember catching a bus. Exactly what the other brother was talking about, going through Hamden. We used to go fish up in Lake Rowland, and they would throw rocks at us and call us nigga this and nigga that. He's talking about being under siege by the people in the city. No. When they tore down those high-rises downtown, where did they send out most of them people? Mm-hmm. They sent them to the county.
Yep, they sure did. You are sure
they
right.
They certainly did. So, you'd be surprised. There are millions of us out there in the county. Mm-hmm. And I work in Hanover. They got all these projects around Hanover. They got Section 8 and nice, beautiful homes and apartments out in Section 8 that people are living in. We're all around now. We are spreading out. So they got to make accommodation for us because we're no longer in the city. We're out there with you, Senator, whatever your name is. Uh-huh. We're out there with you. We came from out there. I didn't hear about this thing until this thing happened in East Point. And so the people out there, they're all around East Point. Mm-hmm. They're out there in Merritt Boulevard. They're out there in Chase, Maryland. And they're coming in. No, I don't think too many people in the city went out there. I think most people out there came there. They're already out there.
They are already there.
They just got to make room.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Yeah, they're already there. They didn't come up there from the city. They're already around you, Senator or Councilman, whatever he is. But anyway, he sounds like a racist to me, and that's not why it happened, because you got Section 8 whites, blacks, Latinos, all kind of
all of it.
Races of people that are poor and don't have a good parents' background, upbringing. It's not just, don't keep saying it's black folk. It's all of us. Mm-hmm. All of them. All colors. Don't blame that to us. Because I can go on and on, but
Anthony,
I'm not.
Appreciate you.
I just want to say nice talking with you, brother Anthony. Beautiful name your mom gave, I tell you.
All right. Thank you for your call. And you know what? The interesting thing about what the county councilman Crandall said when he talked about the county being under siege is that there is absolutely no recognition. You know, I was just thinking about one of our callers said, we have to have data. This has to be fact-driven. I think that he was speaking to a much broader issue than these festivals. I think he's saying, look, our county is changing. There are too many of them coming out here. Yeah, I think he was saying a whole lot more. Kenneth, thanks for your patience. Welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm blessed. Great to hear your voice.
All right. Yeah, I didn't know you were living out there in Shenandoah. That's a beautiful country.
Oh, I loved it out there, but I love my Baltimore.
I know that's right. Okay, but listen, they got a problem if they think that one carnival is going to solve their problems. You think that's something. If they don't find, this is a result of not having any type of recreation in this city.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where are our children supposed to go? Okay, I know the fact that they misbehave and stuff, but, you know, where are they supposed to go? I mean, it's going to be a long summer. A long,
long summer.
Yes, sir. And look what Cal Ripken did. He put all those little mini stadiums out there in the county, you know, for those kids. But he didn't put a mini stadium out in the city for our kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that they need to, the powers that be need to come out their pocket, and everybody needs to stop complaining and focus on our children, where they're supposed to go. And with that, I'm going to leave it like that. It's nice talking to you.
Nice talking to you, Kenneth. Now, I will tell you that Cal Ripken did build a stadium up in Park Heights. George Mitchell and the folks at the Langston Hughes have a beautiful little baseball team, Little League, that plays on an incredible field, baseball field, built by Cal Ripken and his stadium folks. So I don't want to beat him up too much. They did build a great stadium up there in Park Heights. Mel's been holding for a while. Mel, I appreciate your patience. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Anthony, it's been a long time, man.
It's been a long time.
Yeah, I love to hear. You need to catch your show back, man.
Oh, bless you.
I miss you a lot. You and the Mark Steiner days.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. The Steiner days.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Right. So, you know, I live in Parkville, right? And I've been out there for 32 years. I rented my first apartment out there. Then mm-hmm. I bought one house. About 8 years later, I sold it and bought the current house I'm in. We had a very similar situation out there in the White Marsh Mall recently.
Yes.
Where now they don't even want the people that's working there to catch in the bus.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very similar situation as to what it was in East Point Mall. Over the past 32 years, Anthony, honestly, I've seen a drastic change based on the people that's coming in. And many times it's culture, not necessarily a race,
mm-hmm.
but it depends on where you grew up, what was the culture of where you are, whether you're black or white or indifferent. And, many of us, because I'm a black man, many of us have come to Parkville, and I have seen a drastic difference to the negative.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know people might say this, I'm saying that. And
oh,
I'm
no,
negative.
Speak your truth. Yeah. Speak it.
Yeah, but I have 7 grandsons, and I think a lot of the behaviors of the kids that's coming out there is sabotaging my grandsons from getting to take advantage of the opportunities that they have, because they look at all of us as one
mm-hmm.
monolith. You know,
mm-hmm.
so I could be over here behaving myself. You over there acting a fool, and all of a sudden we're all the same. You know,
yep.
And we have to be responsible. We are very smart people. We are very smart people. We came over a lot. We have to behave ourselves, Anthony. We can't just keep blaming every Tom, Dick, and Harry. We have to be accountable. You do not have to go everywhere and tear it up. Okay. Period. You know, people drive by on my street now. They're throwing stuff out the window. All kind
Ugh.
Of stuff. Oh man. You never used to see that. I'm
mm-hmm.
telling you, I've been there 32 years. You never used to see that. You know, I've seen all kind of craziness. My youngest 2 daughters are 30 and 33. They graduated from Parkville High School. Now my eldest grandson, who is 16, goes to Parkville High School. A total difference. All kind of gangs, all kind of craziness. And a lot of those kids, their grandparents might live out here, but they don't. So they just use the address.
That's
you
right.
Know?
Mm-hmm.
Come out there, and they bring their behaviors. You cannot take a pit bull from Baltimore and take it to Pennsylvania and think he's going to stop biting people because he left Baltimore. Okay, that's all I have to
Mel,
say.
Mel, appreciate you. Thank you so much for your call and that illustration. I appreciate it. 410-319-8888. Shonda is next up. Shonda, I appreciate you holding on from the first hour. Give me your thoughts.
Oh, sure, Anthony. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I think the biggest piece, well, not the biggest piece, but a piece to look at is that they're adolescents, that they are young and they're immature, easily to be impressed. The girls come out for the guys and the guys come out for the girls. Somebody's a little embarrassed and things can unfold rather quickly. I think it should be an age limit
mm-hmm.
where kids are dropped off at these events without parental supervision. because they've even had to do it at the movies.
Yep.
Our kids, even though they have the smartphones, I swear I think they like get dumber. I don't know why, but they just do. You know, my God, I used to have to walk a mile to the library to get some of the information that's right at your fingertips. But because they are like this microwave generation, like everything now, everything quick, they don't know how to talk to each other. It's like all heads are all down in their technology, mm-hmm. so they don't really know how to socialize. They can't resolve issues. So the very smallest thing, you're looking at me, why are you looking at me like that, can just turn sideways really quickly. So, I'm hoping that parents could, like, maybe, you know, we just need to take the technology from them and have them talking and outside. I got a call from a school. The principal said, oh, your son was talking about another kid. I said, we call that the dozens. I'm like, I'm surprised, like, you're even calling me about that. Like, that's what kids do. So, we try to place, we want sometimes some adult behaviors to come along with the children, and they're not quite ready for it. Mm-hmm. So I just think, like, maybe we should, like, maybe at those carnivals, it should be like an age limit where young people are dropped off, that, you know, maybe they shouldn't be out there at 12 and 13 mixing with 20 and 18 year olds mm-hmm. who are adults and they're young and not being supervised and things. Like I said, I feel like just kind of goes sideways. So that's just my thought.
Shonda, thank you. Appreciate your call. I think you're reasonable and rational. I hope our parents are listening. Linda, appreciate you holding on, Linda. Tell me what your thoughts are.
Hi there, Anthony. How are you?
I am blessed. Blessed, blessed.
Okay, long time. No, here.
It's good to be back.
All right. And I didn't tell Faraji he could take a day off.
That's right.
You here.
Get him. Go ahead, Linda.
Okay. Look, I just want to say that, that counseling making the sad, sorry, announcement, you know, statement that he made, he was so very out of order mm-hmm. because I don't care what color your skin, the child's skin is, there is a lack of discipline in, you know, our children. The parents are not disciplining their children like they used to. First of all, if you go back, and we all need to return back to the reverential fear of Almighty God, put prayer back in the homes, when they took prayer out of schools. You know, I mean, really, children are not into, you know, it's like all of that is gone now. Mm-hmm. Everybody is in the technology, Facebook and Twitter and all this, you know, but the reverence for Almighty God, God is calling everybody, return back to me. You know, I was sitting here weeping and praising and worshiping God today and remembering how people had reverence for Almighty God. When we had less, we had more reverence and trust in God and dependent on God, and we had respect one for another. Mm-hmm. I remember seeing people running those extra heavy-duty extension cords when their neighbor's electricity got turned off.
Yes.
How they used to run cords to another house to look out and sacrifice to help a neighbor. And didn't worry about the cost. Mm. Because let me tell you something, baby, it's a blessing to be a blessing. Let's return back to God. Teach your children to pray and trust in Almighty God. Discipline them. Take some of that technology away from them. You know, they got, you know, smartphones. Some of them got smartphones and can't even read.
Mm.
Come on, man. Let's get it, get it together. Home parents, take hold of your children, love them, and teach them discipline, right from wrong.
Call us out, Linda. Linda, call us out. We need to. I think it's the example that you set. I think that she is right. And now, your children aren't always going to walk and talk the way you want them to walk and talk. They're going to develop their own identities, their own personalities. But I tell you, if you teach a young person to be respectful, and they will live that life. They will walk and talk in a respectful manner and tone if they see that at home. If they see their mama and their daddy, their grandma and their granddaddy treating people with respect and dignity, guess what? Those kids are going to do that too. David, David's the final caller on this subject. We're going to move right after David. David, tell me what's on your mind.
Well, I'm glad you accepted my call, Mr. Abney. First of all, I think we're looking at the problem in the wrong direction. That's just how I think, you know, because it's not the children's fault. It's the grown-ups' fault. We should create our own areas of recreation. We should have our own schools of education. And we should have our own religious value of family and structure. You know what I mean? First of all, we're in a system, a belief system, that we support. A belief system that's never been in our favor. Blacks has never supported us. And has never authorized us to be free under the terms and under the principles of freedom. You know what I mean? Everything is we got to be accepted, we got to be approved, and we got to be designated for anything that we get in the society. I just don't see the rationale in saying to the world that we all the same people, because we can't be the same people. We got too many conflict and issues and too much dislike going on undercover that we only see in times of these kind of issues. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
So, I mean, you know, to me, we're looking in the wrong direction. And to believe that a system that has been totally against you all your life, all of a sudden is going to give you all the privileges that everybody else has, or everybody has privilege to have, you know, it's some sort of ridiculous. I get sick of hearing people talking about the kids need to do this and they need to pray. Pray for what? What are you praying for? You believe in a system that used religion to enslave the people. That's number one. Because what is prayer done for us? That's what I want to know. You know what I mean? We still got the same issues. We got the same positions, and we still begging for the simple pledges and principles that everybody else has, you know, naturally. We're still doing the same thing over and over and over. Why? Because we believe in this system. We support this system. This system is not going to change. And we have to be adults and not children. How are you going to raise a child when you're a child? See what I'm saying? And that's the problem. That's the problem. You have to grow up and realize that you have a responsibility. A responsibility not just making children, but you must make a way for children. You must make a way for children. You can't expect your children to receive the accreditation that you're going to give them from somebody else. That's unrealistic. You know what I mean? So I applaud Kyle Ripken for building programs. He's doing that for his people. There's nothing wrong with that. You know what I mean? Got no business building a football field for you. You're supposed to build your own football field. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, we have to deal with realistic things, things that are tangible and insight to our ability and our mindset, because we have the talent, we have the tools to do it, we just don't do it. Then we complain. See, that's the problem. Now everybody's up in the air. Yeah, the people don't want you out there acting crazy. You know what I mean? But at the same time, they're the ones that structure this craziness activity from the beginning, because you put your child through their education system. You don't have no educational system. You raise them on their morals. You don't have no morals. You use a religion system that has been handed down to us by them. That's the religion system. You tell them to pray on them. So for if we look in the right direction, we might see the right thing.
David, I appreciate you. Thank you for your wisdom and sharing your wisdom with us today on the program. Folks, we've been talking about this horrible incident that took place out in Baltimore County. The county councilman is saying the county's under siege. Some people think he was being racist, that he was pointing the finger at and blaming black kids for something that had no proof that black kids were the problem. I've enjoyed talking to you. In the next half hour, I want to hear what you think about what's happening in our city, the city of Baltimore. What do we need to do to turn the table? Does Catherine Pugh need to resign? Does Jack Young doing a good job? He's firing people left and right that are too close to the mayor. He said he didn't want to be mayor, but he sure is acting like mayor right now. I want to talk to you about all of that. Plus, Donald Trump took credit for being the most transparent administration in the history of our country. I could not stop laughing. This man is... Well, anyway, we'll talk about it next on For the Culture. I'm Anthony McCarthy, in for Faraji. We'll be right back. Good evening. I'm Anthony McCarthy, sitting in for Faraji here on For the Culture. You're listening to Public Radio WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. Great to be before you folks. It's been a while. I love coming over with my family here at WEAA. I want you to call in. Let's talk politics. Should Catherine Pugh resign as mayor of the city of Baltimore? Do you think Donald Trump is a great president? He said today, as he was returning back to the White House, he was asked about the subpoenas that are going out left and right to all of the people in his administration. He's also told his staff members they cannot go to the White House Correspondents' Dinner. He is putting down some rules. He said the Trump administration is the most transparent administration in the history of the country. Now, we already know that he cannot speak to us without telling a lie. The Mueller report gives us 10 incidents where he has committed all kinds of, what's the word I'm looking for? There's a phrase. Write it down for me. I can't think of it. I'm going, my mind is that Donald Trump has shown us time and time again that, there we go, obstruction of justice. Alex is the man. Obstruction, 10 incidents in the Mueller. If he was not president, he would be in jail right now. What do you think about that? Also, it would be hypocritical of me to be on there. Many of you know I have worked, had the honor of working for the last three mayors of the city of Baltimore, and worked for Kurt Smoke as well. The only mayor I did not work in City Hall for is Martin O'Malley. And I love working for the people of this city. I love it when people would call and say, Anthony, this is the problem I'm having. Can you call DPW? Anthony, I'm calling because this is the problem I'm having at housing. Can you help me? And I was able to do that. Now our city government seems to be in great turmoil. What can we do? What do you think should happen? I want to hear from you. I want to hear from you about our president. Maybe you think the economy's good. People are back at work. Donald Trump is making all the right decisions. He's got a protectionist foreign policy. He's tough on the border. Maybe that's what we need to do. I want to hear from you. 410-319-8888. Clarence was first in. Clarence, I appreciate you calling. Tell me what's on your mind.
I just wanted to say something about, in reference to what you were just talking about, the people, the economy and all that. You know, when I look at the Trump administration, you know, if you were sitting next to me, I'd say, Anthony, pass me the popcorn. You know, I don't, you know, I hear people on the radio all the time. They still see red when they hear, after all this time, they're still seeing red when they hear the name Donald Trump.
You got to get over it. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to get over it and move on. But, Anthony, my question is this. You know, you being an somewhat of an, well, you are an insider. You was there. Does the city of Baltimore, I don't think Catherine Pugh should resign. I'm not a big fan of Catherine Pugh, but when you're in Caesar's game and you play Caesar's game the way Caesar's game is, you know, the big boys play, you know, no fault. You didn't take any food off anybody out of anybody's mouth or just deprive any kids of anything, you know. No foul, no harm, no foul, you know, that kind of a thing. And I'm not even going to argue the ethics thing about it because most of the people that are hollering about ethics are the same people that voted for Hillary Clinton. So I'll leave that alone, okay? But, Anthony, here's my question to you. As an insider, does the city of Baltimore, not the race, does the city of Baltimore have claim to the name Preakness? In other words, you can take the race any way you want to, but you just cannot call it the Preakness.
Well,
because I think we should have ownership of that by virtue of it being here for 140 years. It's ours, okay? I think there should be a legal. Do you know if there's a legal issue there? Thank you.
Thank you, Clarence. I appreciate your call. And technically, the Stronach Group that owns Pimlico, they also own the name Preakness. So we don't own it here in the city of Baltimore. It's something that probably should have happened a long time ago. But they have every right to take that race to Laurel, Maryland. Now, if they do it, I think they're making a huge mistake and betraying the city of Baltimore. How much energy and pride and money we have pumped into that race, the second jewel in the Triple Crown. It is Baltimore's Super Bowl. People come from around the world to this city. You can't rent a hotel that weekend. You can't get over there. The roads are blocked. The traffic is enormous. That race belongs in the city of Baltimore. I hope they don't take it. We have it through 2021. I hope it stays here for much, much longer. Paul, appreciate you calling. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, thank you. I called to speak about the mayor.
Go ahead.
Catherine Pugh. I think she's a wonderful person. I've met her, and I've talked with her. And the thing is, she's a woman. And she had pneumonia. Now, it's a whole lot of things that goes on with a woman when they get sick that may not happen with a man.
Okay.
We don't know just how sick she was, except that they say pneumonia. It's probably something else that may have gone wrong with her, the reason why she's staying out longer than what we feel she should have. But I think what it is, number one, she's a woman. And I don't think our society look at women as being chief of anything. And I think what's happening is there's a certain way that women are treated when they're in high offices or high places. And I think she should be given the opportunity to be mayor. And I think she should be given the opportunity to be sick and not be thrown out of office because of her sickness. And I don't think she's being treated fair. And I think what we need to do is we need to support Catherine Pugh.
Paul, I appreciate your call. Thank you very much. 410-319-8888. Should Catherine Pugh resign? The city council's call for a resignation. The Greater Baltimore Committee's call for a resignation. The members of the House of Delegates from the city of Baltimore have called for her resignation. Now let's hear from you, the citizens of Baltimore that elected Catherine Pugh. Should she give up the position and move on? Should Jack Young go ahead and take over city government? 410-319-8888. 8888. Livingston is on the line. Livingston, I appreciate you calling. Welcome to the For the Culture.
How you doing, Anthony?
My name blessed.
Is pronounced Livingston.
Livingston.
With no I back there. There's an O back there.
Okay.
That's my name. That's all I have.
That's all you have. We're waiting to hear from you, Livingston.
As far as the mayor of Baltimore City, she's done nothing but the same as they've all done. Mm-hmm. The ones who haven't gotten caught, the ones who are still on boards, who haven't resigned from those boards, and she's benefited from just as like they have.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the citizens of Baltimore, she's done nothing to slight them.
But what do you think when people say, well, she may not have broken the law, she may not have done anything illegally, but she may have acted unethically?
This was all before she was the mayor.
That's right. Yep, you're right.
So that doesn't actually have anything to do with her tenure now
there
as the
you
mayor
go.
Of the city of mm-hmm. Baltimore. And in addition to that, I'd like to say something about the Trump situation.
Yeah, go ahead.
The more you all speak about Trump, the more relevant you make him. They say, what they say, any advertisement or any, what's name is good advertisement? It's not.
Mm-hmm.
They just make it, he's trying to make his name relevant by saying something stupid every day. He says something dumb or does something dumb every day, something idiotic. So you all speaking about everything he says makes him become relevant every day. So you hear his name every day for something stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing positive is for stuff that's stupid. He's not the he inherited this economy. Mm-hmm. This economy was put in place by someone, his predecessor. So he's not actually the person that's caused the economy to be good. He's just a beneficiary of a good economy.
Mm. Thank you
but
for your call,
speaking
brother.
Every day and saying something dumb every day, he's just making himself become relevant, keeping his name in your timeline.
I appreciate your call. Appreciate your words of wisdom. Now, he does happen to be the president of the United States. So he is relevant to our lives every single day. The things that he does every day impact us one way or the other. Let's go to Stuart. Stuart, you've been patient. I appreciate your call. Welcome to the program.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon.
Hey there, sir.
Wanted to talk about Mayor Pugh.
Yes.
First of all, I'd like to just say, you know, a lot of people have been really down on her, not understanding
real
that,
harsh.
That pneumonia is a real thing. You know, she got that nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head. But she probably slept up with Healthy Holly somewhere trying to get better.
Stuart, you're
so people
terrible.
People are kind of concerned, right?
Uh-huh.
People are concerned because it's been weeks, and normally somebody get pneumonia. You know, they get that one quick schedule of antibiotics, some bed rest. But, Anthony, let's keep it real. It's been a minute.
Yeah, it's been four
She's been
weeks.
Gone
You're right.
Mm-hmm. For a month.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, it's going to look a little shady. And, you know, no Instagram, no tweet, no, hey, y'all, I'm good, no wait. It's going to look fishy, even if ain't nothing fishy going on.
Mm-hmm.
That said.
Do you think she should resign, Stuart?
That's where I was going. That said.
Mm-hmm.
Old girl probably needs to step down. It's going to sound a little controversial, what I'm saying.
Uh-huh. Go ahead.
Hear me out. The past three administrations, we done had a sister at the helm.
Uh-huh.
Bruh. It's been trifling. It's been gift cards, riots at Mondawmin, and now Healthy Holly books. I'm thinking we got to get a brother back up in there, and he got to get his, you know, James Evans on or something and stay at people hard. I don't know. But in the past decade or so, the city has been, like, I mean, we done had the whole Monaco car race that was a failure. Now we about to lose the Preakness. And these darn potholes, man, they've been growing.
Mm-hmm.
And ain't no fixes. We keep hitting, oh, we're going to take away the Martin Luther Day this, and we're going to get bike racks. I'm like, now the scooter thing, that's been a failure. Man, I'm just like I said, I ain't trying to start no mess, but. I'm just called you earlier. You were called for, hey, the facts and the data.
That's right.
The facts and the data show we have been taking L's.
Stuart,
so, yeah, she probably need to go ahead and step back a bit.
Mm-hmm. Stuart, I appreciate your call. Thanks for speaking your truth and sharing your opinion with us. 410-319-8888. Jack Young, the ex officio mayor of the city of Baltimore, put seven city hall employees on leave of absence. He fired three of them today. Gary Brown, Afra Vance White, and Portia Deal. I worked with all of them. I consider all of them very dear friends. All were given their pink slip today by Jock Young. He won't say anything other than he just doesn't need them at City Hall anymore. 410-319-8888. He was asked also, do you think Catherine Pugh should return? He said no. 410-319-8888. Let's go to Mia. Mia's a new caller. Mia, we appreciate you calling. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me. I was calling in to make a comment on the happenings. My take is that the previous caller called in and mentioned that Catherine Pugh is a woman.
Mm-hmm.
A woman, whether you're male or female, does not infect your integrity.
Amen.
And now, if your integrity is an influenza, then that's a different story. I love the previous caller saying pewmonia. Like, yes, if you're sick, that has nothing to do with your integrity and whether you were doing it before you went to office or after.
Mm-hmm.
That affects your standard of integrity. So if we can't trust you before, we definitely can't trust you after. Mm. So that's just my comment.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Mia. 410-319-8888. There have been a great deal of comments, and I try to just let people say what they have to say without making judgments. But be very careful when you start making judgments about people's gender. We don't need female women mayors. Folks, we've moved past all that. What we need are people with integrity. What we need are people who have the knowledge and smarts to run our city. But most of all, we need people who love the people of Baltimore and who are going to put those interests before their own interests. If you're telling me you're going to put the people, my interests as a citizen of Baltimore, but ahead of your interests, that's what I want to hear. I want to know the person I elect cares about the future of this city, cares about the children of this city, cares about the men and women of the city of Baltimore. And if your actions prove that you don't care, that you care more about yourself or enriching yourself, then that's a problem. Then that is a problem. I want to know what you think. Should Catherine Pugh go or should she come back? Does she take something out of your pocket? 410-319-8888. Do you think Jack Young's doing a good job as the ex officio mayor of the city of Baltimore? He says he's not running. He's going to run for re-election as city council president. He seems real comfortable walking around calling himself the mayor. 410-319-8888. Let's go to Praya. I think I'm saying that right.
Praera.
What a beautiful name. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. I just called specifically to comment about Donald Trump.
Okay.
I think he's a system he's a product of a bigger system that's mm-hmm. always been in existence and will always be. In terms of his narcissism and lack of concern, I don't believe he should have a second term. I believe one person, either on the Republican side or Democratic side, should run face off. The person who can really will come behind him will have a mess to undo.
Oh, they sure will.
Mm. And that sad part about it is I learned something from someone recently who went to the funeral for Aretha Franklin. There were people in three states that stayed home that actually did not vote. And that also determined why he got it.
He is
and
president,
also,
yes.
Even if they had voted, I believe tricks were pulled. And I believe even if Hillary was qualified or whatever to be the president, tricks were pulled because he's a woman and they wouldn't want to give it to her.
Mm.
And that's a reality.
I think you're speaking some truth there, Priya. I really appreciate you calling. Thank you. CJ, welcome to the program. CJ, are you
Hello?
There, sis? Welcome.
Yes. Hello?
Hello, you're on the air.
Yes. First of all, there are several things I wanted to point out. I understand that this has been about the third or fourth week that Catherine Pugh has now stepped aside and is on leave. And I think people, I'm just going to deal with, first of all, the pneumonia situation, aside from everything else. I had pneumonia and almost died.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a registered nurse almost 50 years, and I've seen every type of pneumonia in my years of nursing. trust me, it is nothing to be taken lightly. I think people may confuse it with having the flu or a cold. It is not that simplistic.
Mm-hmm.
So I am concerned that she had pneumonia. And when she gave, I think, a very short
press conference
meeting, mm-hmm. she looked extremely weak, and I was very concerned about her. So I'm just praying for her that she gets through that. Secondly, people are asking for her resignation, but she's not been found guilty. She hasn't been indicted. She
hasn't been charged with anything. You're right.
You know, so I think that before you ask for someone to resign, they first of all have to be found guilty of something. And that hasn't happened yet.
Mm-hmm.
When I look back over the history of government and politics involved over the last 30, 40, 50 years, there's been all kinds of corruption. And I think people are aware of that. And that's in every single city in this United States. Okay? So if she's found guilty of anything that's going to be indicted, I think she needs to name all the other people with whom she's had association who are involved in that.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly don't think that if she's found guilty of something, that she should take all of that blame upon herself. Because we know, I think we all know, that she wasn't in it by herself.
Mm.
I doubt very seriously she was in it by herself. I am concerned with the recent action of the acting Mayor Young. I was reading today about those persons saying being an at-will.
Mm-hmm.
I was not familiar with that. Being in an at-will employment that you can be fired at any time without any reason. And I just wondered how he decided to fire not all of them, but some of them. And I'm quite sure he may have reasons unbeknownst to us. And I guess he doesn't really have to explain that. But I am very concerned about how this is all going to come out and how it's going to affect our Baltimore City.
Mm. CJ, thank you.
I just think that when it comes to her health, I think that people need to understand that, you know, if she's been diagnosed with pneumonia, she's very sick.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just, she's not just walking around, you know, feeling like she has a little flu, a little cold. When you have pneumonia, it's a very serious situation.
Thank you, CJ. And I will tell you, folks, and I have been very careful. I have been inundated with press calls. People want to talk to me. They want me to give them my opinion because of my relationship with Catherine Pugh, because of my relationship with Stephanie Rawlings-Blake, because of my relationship with Sheila Dixon. And I have purposefully not done it. I don't betray my friends. I don't betray confidence. And I don't talk out of school. But I will tell you this. Catherine Pugh is very sick. I spoke to her as late as this past Saturday. You can hear it in her voice. She is getting stronger. She is getting better. But this pneumonia really kicked her behind. And this stress behind this scandal, I'm sure, has added to that. Stress can make you sick. Catherine Pugh is not faking. She is sick. 410-319-8888. That's the number. I want to hear your thoughts. Najina is on the line. New caller. Welcome to the program.
Hello.
I appreciate you calling.
Yes. So a few things. I can't help but feel like when it comes to historically black folk in our culture,
uh-huh.
when someone has done something that we feel as a people is wrong, we drag them through the mud. We want to burn them to the cross. We want to, you know, torture them. However, we have a president who is disgusting, and yet he is still continued to be supported. And so I feel like, is there any place for someone to apologize for whatever offense they may have done to the community? And when does forgiveness come into play? We're so quick to jump on the bandwagon and drag each other for, you know, things that may not have been done in a proper way.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that people should maybe take a step back and think, well, if that were me, if I were in this situation, how would I want the public to treat me? Or how would I want my community to rally around me? Would you want forgiveness, or would you expect for people to kind of, you know, expect for your whole career to be over? And I just feel like we got to, I don't know, at some point get to a place where we say, yes, people make mistakes. Yes, we should forgive. Yes, people can apologize for maybe something that they did that wasn't done correctly. So, I don't know, us as a community kind of think about that sometimes. put ourselves in the shoes of other people, you know?
Gina, I think that you have called us to a much better place, called us to a really higher place than we even allow ourselves most of the time to interact. I think that I'm not saying Catherine Pugh did everything right. Matter of fact, when she and I spoke, she has said, I'm not perfect. I've made mistakes. But is it the kind of thing where people in this city, they don't just want you to be punished. They feel like they have to burn you at the stake. They've got to salt the earth. They've got to destroy you. You can't just walk away without your name and your reputation being literally shredded and torn apart so that you may not rise again. And you ask me how I know. I will tell you how I know, because it happened to me. And I'm not going to go into it, but I know what it's like to be falsely accused. And when it's all done, where do you go to get your name back? Where do you go to get your integrity back? And people who know me know that integrity and dignity mean the world to me. I'm a man of faith. I'm a man of God. And I try to each and every day be a little bit more like God, treat people the way I think I would want to be treated. And we love to beat people. And when you're down, we seem to take pleasure in beating you more. I've been disturbed by the piling on, more and more people every day attacking and attacking and attacking. When do you start to lift up? And Nigina asked the right question. When do you forgive? When do you forgive? 410-319-8888. Now, you can have an exact opposite position of me. Let's go to Donna. Donna, welcome to the program.
Hi, how you doing? How you doing?
Anthony, it's great to talk to you. That's all right, babe. You know me.
Right. One point I like to make about the Pimlico racetrack.
Uh-huh.
The history is a governor, I forgot his name, back in the late 1800s, mm-hmm. decided that he chose the area. Remember, that area used to be part of
that's right, and it was nothing but
governor,
farmland.
Right, the governor wanted, mm-hmm. that governor said, I want this area to be the track for the Preakness. And the Preakness was named after a colt, you know, after a horse. And it raced, and you know, it has a lot of historical significance, it should be listed as on a national landmark because, you know, it has, I think this year we'll be celebrating 150th birthday uh-huh. of it. And we're number three as one of the oldest racetracks in the country. So there's a lot of historical significance in this location. The area is a beautiful area. It's like you're going in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And the area, that Bowie area, I know that Laurel area. It's awful. The traffic is bad. It's strip malls up and down. You can't even see the racetrack from the street. 198 is one of the worst corridors. I wouldn't even drive up and down there so bad, especially that 295 corridor, which is a big mess, too, with the National Park Service.
Mm-hmm.
My final point is, when they were having the hearings in the House of Delegates and the Senate, I wrote two letters, and I, you know, listed out the history. We need to do what New York did. Back in the 80s, New York saw this happening with all the racetracks across the country. So what they did was they bought the land. They bought the mm-hmm. owners out, bought all the lands of all the racetracks. They own the land, and they have contractors like the Jockey Club. The New York Jockey Club manage the other racetracks, and that works out fine. And we, since our football and baseball stadium are owned by the state, the state needs to actually purchase and own the land and continue to keep horse racing going as long as it can. And it would be better to have the state owned than have it private because, you know, so those were options. And we need to do like what New York did. They were smart. They were visionaries. And we need to be visionaries as well. The racetrack, the Pimlico, Bowie, I think we need to start with Pimlico and then mm-hmm. we move up. But we really need to own the land because it's history. The first African-American, Triple Crown was an African-American jockey. So we have a lot of history.
Wow.
And so, like I said, this year, I think it was this year, they will be celebrating 150-year birthday for it being the third oldest racetrack in the country. Mm. And if you don't believe me, people, go do your research.
That's right.
I did enough to write the letter to the state senate and the legislature about the history of that racetrack and why it has to stay in Baltimore because of the history. And Baltimore County needs to piggyback with us to keep it here. And thanks so much.
Donna, thank you so much for that lesson and that information. And you know, the one thing that's getting lost in this big argument about the Preakness is that the people of Laurel have gone on record. They do not want the Preakness to come there. They've been very vocal. They don't want the traffic. They don't want that those 3 days of people flooding into their town. They have made it very clear. Keep the Preakness in Baltimore. All right, let's go. Bubby, you're our final caller. We're running out of time. What's on your mind tonight?
Thank you very much, Preacher, for taking my call. I don't have a heaven or hell to put Catherine Pugh in, but let's be perfectly clear. I served this city for 15 years, and they chewed me up and threw me out, and I asked for Catherine Pugh help, and she turns her back on me. Mm-hmm. So fate has a way of coming back. But let's be perfectly clear. I do not want her to resign.
Mm-hmm.
And the city is considering a whistleblower protection, which they did not afford me. But maybe they could afford Catherine Pugh the whistleblower protection, and she could stay as mayor and run against the next mayor, which we know she won't win. But let me just say on ex-official mayor Jack Young, what he can do to citizens a great favor if he walked directly across the street from City Hall to 417 and fired Janet Abraham, the executive director of the Baltimore City Housing Authority. Now, he can fire these three underlings of the mayor, but he have not fired any department heads yet, when I can bet you that there's no department in Baltimore City that is running adequately according to the citizens. Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you, Bubby. Appreciate your call. Folks, I have enjoyed being with you tonight. I'm sitting in for my good friend Faraji. He'll be back tomorrow. I'll be back in the next couple of days. I love spending time with the listeners of Public Radio. I'm Anthony McCarthy. This has been For the Culture here on Public Radio, WEAA, the voice of the community.